Hello and welcome to this another edition of Words from the Word of God and a Ray of Light from the Word, first one in a while. And of course, that's not by design. As I have told you in the last few broadcasts, been dealing with some sickness here. I don't want to dwell on that. I just want to thank you for joining us today. I want to thank God for His sustaining and sufficient grace by which I am joining you today. And I'm so excited to be here with you that we might share words from the Word of God and a ray of light from the Word today. Today's message comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 46. I want to read that whole verse, and then I want to draw your attention to verses 8 and 9 and possibly 10. We'll just say verses 8 through 10 as we read. But first of all, I want to begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for letting us come together and join together here on this broadcast, Lord, and I pray for the ones who are listening, Lord. I pray that you, as we read your word, would grant unto us each the portion, Lord, for our hearts that you would have us to have. Lord, I ask that you, by the Holy Spirit, would speak through to our hearts, Lord. Lord, just direct us and help us, Lord, to realize that above all things, above everything that we hold so tightly to in this world, you stand above those things. You are the only one true God, and that we should honor you with everything that we have instead of honoring those things that we have that, Lord, we hold tight to and we work so hard to have here that one day will be nothing more than ash, Lord. But we should hold true to you in our hearts, Lord, looking unto you for everything. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your cross and your blood by which we are redeemed and forgiven of our sins, Lord, as we have placed our faith in you. And Lord, although this message, Lord, is for the true born again believer today, Lord, I pray that every soul in this world would hear something from your word. Something said here today would touch that soul that's closest to hell, that lost soul, Lord, separated from you because of sin. And I pray that they would come under Holy Ghost conviction, Lord, that they would be saved before it's eternally too late. Lord, I pray all things, and I give you glory, honor, and praise for all things. In Jesus' holy, sweet name I pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, and I would ask you to turn over to, or if you can access the Word of God through cell phone, mobile device, or computer, I would ask you to turn over or access the book of Isaiah. Again, chapter 46, we'll be reading the whole chapter. But again, I want to, as we read the whole chapter, I want to go back and refocus on verses 8 through 10, possibly the whole chapter. We'll just go as the Lord leads here. The Word of God tells us here in verse, we begin reading in verse 1, Baal boweth down, Nebo stoopeth, their idols were upon the beast and upon the cattle. Your carriages were heavy loaden, they are burdened to the weary beast. They stoop, they bow down together, they could not deliver the burden, but themselves are gone into captivity. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb, and even to your old age, I am he. Oh, how wonderful that is. I am he, and even to the hoar hairs, that's gray hairs, will I carry you. I have made, and I want you to listen to the I wills of God here. I will bear, that means I will bear you up. Even I will carry you, I will and will deliver you. How wonderful is that? To whom will ye liken me and make me equal and compare me that we may be like or alike, that we may be alike? They lavish gold out of the bag, they weigh silver in the balance and hire a goldsmith and he maketh it a god. They fall down, yea, they worship. They bear him, speaking of the idol, upon the shoulder. They carry him and set him in his place, and he standeth. From his place shall he not remove. Yea, one shall cry unto him, yet can he not answer, nor save him out of his trouble. Remember this. Remember this, verse 8, remember this and show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind, O ye transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God. I am El, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from the ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have pursued it. I have purposed it. I will also do it. Hearken unto me, ye stout-hearted, that are far from righteousness. I bring near my righteousness. It shall not be far off, and my salvation shall not tarry. It shall not be delayed, and I will place salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory. In context of scripture here, we in the beginning of the chapter see that, you know, as we have, if you read through Isaiah, you find out that Babylon would be used of God to judge Judah. And we know that Babylon would come in and decimate Judah and carry them away into 70 years of Babylonian captivity, but also that God would, be destroyed by God. Even though they did the will of God, because this was against his people, God would pronounce judgment upon Babylon itself. And that's basically what we have here in the beginning of the chapter. He's talking about the gods of the Babylonians, which were made of gold and silver, the idols that they worshiped that were useless. The things of the world that made, but he mentions it being the goldsmith making it of gold and of silver, and they had to carry them upon their shoulders, their own gods that they bowed and worshiped and bowed down to and just let rule their life, and they couldn't speak, they couldn't hear, they couldn't see. And matter of fact, he said they stand in their place and they're not moved. And not only that, but even though you bow down to them and cry to them, they won't hear you, and they certainly can't save you, because it is nothing more than something made by man that stands in a corner and collects the dust. That is what the Babylonians gods were. They were idols. And unfortunately, Israel in the captivity and throughout their history fell down to idols as well, and disobeyed God and turned from God to idols and even sacrificed their own children at times. But the point is, I want to bring out today, and I think it speaks to our heart as well, what he is bringing to Israel here is he's letting them know the gods of Babylon that would come in and decimate you and take you into captivity, those gods are not and cannot be likened unto me, your God. And that's what I believe he's speaking to our heart today in this ray of light. He says, I am El. I am El. That is the mighty one. I am Elohim. The Godhead in its fullness, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost there. And he's speaking to us, I believe, as compared to these idols of the Babylonians and even the ones that Israel would bow down to, that there is nothing that we hold so tightly to in this world. You know, we go through life, and if you are a true born again believer, you know truly who God is. You know the mighty one, El, I am God. You know him. You know him personally by placing your faith, repenting of your sins, and placing your faith in Christ. By that relationship, you are restored to fellowship and relationship with God Almighty. And he is the mighty one of our life. Not only that, but we know that, again, he repeats it, I am God. I am Elohim, the omnipotent one, the omnipotent one, and the omnipresent one, the one who is all powerful, the one who is all knowing, and the one who's ever present. He is the Godhead in all its fullness. Now, who does that remind you of? And what does this scripture remind you of? Let's read verses 8 through 10 again. Remember this, to show yourselves men and bring it again to mind, O ye transgressors. That speaks to us. Remember what he saved us from and what he's brought us to. Remember who did that for us. Remember who saved us from the greatest disease that we could ever have, and that was sin unto death, and the power of Satan that ruled our lives for so long. There's nothing in this world that we could ever done to have broken that power. No, it took the God of creation and his son, Jesus Christ. It took him, God himself, stepping into the humanity, into history of mankind, walking among us in the flesh and dying on the cross and shedding every drop of his precious blood, that we might be redeemed from the slave market of sin, and that we might be forgiven of our sins by repenting and placing our faith in him. He is the only one that could deliver us from that disease. Now, if he can do that, why would we trust in anything else to do anything for us? The money that we work so hard to have and save up and trust in, the houses that we have and we find comfort in, and we find quietness in, our cars that we think so much of that get us from point A to point B, on and on and on. Whatever we're holding so tightly to, are we holding tightly to and holding so tightly to them that they are becoming idols in our life? You know, God said one of his first commandments was, "You shall not have any other gods before me." That's in Exodus chapter 20. I can't tell you the exact verse right now, but that was one of the first commandments. Have no other gods before me. Make no graven images. In other words, I am God. I am El, I am the mighty one. I am Elohim, the Godhead in all its fullness. And that's what he wants us to realize in our life. And I believe that's what he's saying to us today. He says in verse 9, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am El and there is none else. I am God Elohim and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. That means he's going to carry out his will and his purposes. If he said it, you can count on it, it coming to pass. And that's why we have his word here. That's why we need to focus so much on him today. We need to take our eyes off of the world. We need to take our eyes off of the things that we have in this world, because one day soon, if Christ returns to bring us home with him, they're not going to matter anyway. And one day, shortly after that, 7 years past that, this whole world, heaven and earth, is going to pass away in fervent heat. God said he made a promise to Noah. He wouldn't destroy it by a flood of water, but he's going to destroy it by fire. So everything that we hold so tightly to in this world and depend on is going to be nothing more than ash. And then all we will have, what will we have without the Lord? Nothing but more fire, the everlasting fire of hell without the Lord. That's where we stand without Jesus in our hearts. But I want to read this scripture to you in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 12. And this is what reminded me of who we need to focus on, talking about Elohim, the Godhead in all its fullness. Let's read a few verses here, verse 1 through 3 of Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, that's referring us back to chapter 11, which is the heroes of the faith chapter of the Bible, a great cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradictions of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. What does he tell us here, right here in Isaiah 46, 9 and 8? Remember, that means to call it to mind, to bring it to your memory, to bring it to the memory of your heart, what God has done. He was telling Israel, remember when I delivered your forefathers out of Egypt. Remember when they crossed over the Red Sea on dry ground. Remember all the miracles that were done, the 40 years in the wilderness where their clothes didn't wear out and their shoes didn't wear out, until the whole first generation died and the second generation was taken into the promised land. Remember all the battles that I gave you victory in once you entered into the promised land. Remember all of what I have done. Now, focusing, you know, fast forwarding till now. Remember what God has done for you. And who did he do it for you through? Jesus Christ, the Lord. And who do we bring into our remembrance? We just celebrated Easter. And Easter is not about the Easter bunny and eggs and all that. No, Easter is about our risen Savior, our resurrected Lord. But we do not serve a dead Savior. There are many religions in this world and there are many gods, but all their gods are dead and buried in the grave. Ours is resurrected, and it says there in Hebrews, what did it say? Let's go back there for a minute. I'm sorry, I lost my place. I turned it. Let me go back there for a second. Let's read this right quick. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. His resurrection, his sacrifice, his perfect, blemish-free, sinless sacrifice, in his death, burial, and resurrection, because he was resurrected and raised of the Father back into heaven in his ascension. That means that his sacrifice for us, the sins of the whole world, remember, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. His sacrifice, but that with his resurrection and ascension, means that he was accepted. It was accepted by God the Father as payment in full for me and for you. Now, think about this. When it talks about bringing into remembrance, when it talks about looking unto him, considering him, what should we be doing today? Our eyes should be focused on what the Lord has done, what he is doing, and what he is going to do. And I want to turn over here right quick, if I'm not mistaken, to Colossians chapter 1. Might be chapter 1, it might be verse chapter 3. Let me look here for a second. There we go, chapter 3. Let's read this right quick, something the Lord laid on my heart here. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on the things above, not on the things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid in Christ, in with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Oh, my goodness. Listen to those words. Set your affections on the things above, not the things on the earth. What did he say there? We be risen. We are risen with Christ. We are alive evermore. Remember what Christ has done. Remember where you were in your sins. And there is nothing that you hold so tight to in this world that could have saved your soul. No, the more in the opposite direction, it could have taken your soul to hell because you were putting more emphasis on that than you were on the gospel of Jesus Christ our Lord and not placing your faith in Him. But when you repented, when the Holy Spirit got a hold of your heart by the preaching of the gospel and you were come under Holy Ghost conviction and you cried out, you didn't cry out to some other idol in the room. You didn't cry out to a preacher sitting behind a pulpit. You didn't cry out to a church building. You didn't cry out on that to that altar that was so beautifully displayed there in front of you. Who did you cry out to? You cried out to Jesus. You cried out to El. You cried out to Elohim. The Word of God tells us in Him was all the fullness of the Godhead. Oh my goodness, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You were saved by the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. And it was only when you focused and remembered Him, remembered what He did on Calvary and His blood that was shed there, and the Holy Spirit brought that to your remembrance. He brought it to your heart. He brought it to your conscience and brought you under that conviction. There is nothing in this world that could have saved you. Only Jesus. Let's refocus our attention back. Let's set our affections back where they need to be today. Hey, it's Sunday. It's a wonderful day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will be glad and rejoice in it. Let us rejoice, but let us bring into remembrance all that God has done for us through His Son in stepping into humanity and giving Himself on the cross for our sins. Not for our sins alone, but for the sins of the whole world. He has paid that in full. Let us set our affections on Him today. Let us bring that into our remembrance, bringing it back, praising Him. And it's not only the consciousness, it's not only the intellect, it's by our mouth. It is by our life that we live here, that we honor and glorify Him. And that is what we can do to bring in remembrance. It's not only just for us, it's for those around us to see what God has done in our life. Thank you so much for joining me today. And I want to close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the word that we received from you today. Thank you for your blessed word that we can read and take hope in. Lord, help us to focus all of our affections and everything on you today and what you did on the cross, Lord Jesus. I pray that something was said here and done here in this message today that would reach that sinner that's closest to hell today, that they might receive salvation before it's eternally too late. Thank you again, Lord, for this time that we've joined together, and we thank you so much. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you for joining me today. I look so forward to the next time that we can share in a word from the Word of God. God bless.